What we have now is sort of a mishmash of material coming up, with no particular order, just thoughts, suggestions, and various things as we come to the end of one year and move in towards the beginning of another. The text that we're going to bring up on screen now is one that I'm thinking about preaching on Sunday, and if further inspiration flows, then, yep, that's what we'll turn to on the Lord's Day morning. So I'm going to keep my powder dry on it anyway. I'm not going to try and expound it or give you even an outline on it at the minute. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Let you into a little secret in that one. I was reading through some material on this afternoon, and one of the commentators was saying, you know, the word prosperity, do you see the word prosperity there? No, you don't. It's not in the Authorized King James Version, but it was in whatever version he was using. And he was going on and he was saying, you know, prosperity, just in case you think it's a prosperity gospel that this text is promoting, and this is going right down the street of the prosperity gospelers, that God is going to give us great prosperity in life, just in case you're thinking that's what it means. He goes into an encyclopedia, he goes into another encyclopedia, and then he goes into something else, and eventually he comes up and he says, you know, it really means peace. And you're thinking, yeah, it does. And the King James translators got it exactly right, because they didn't put prosperity in there, they put peace. And the word is shalom, which just about everybody, even if they don't know another word in the Hebrew language, know that shalom essentially means peace. And it's a tremendous promise that God is giving, and I think it's certainly a good one for the new year. Bit of a black backdrop to it, but if we do reach it on the Lord's Day, then we'll explain the kind of a backdrop to that. But Jeremiah 29:11. I was also reading about and coming across a little article on 10 questions to ask in the new year. And some of these, I think, are going to be quite pertinent and relevant to our lives and would be very beneficial, I'm sure, for me to ask them myself, and I'm sure for you to ask them as well. We'll go through them very, very quickly, and maybe one will hit home as a potential good New Year's resolution. One, what's one thing you could do this year to increase your enjoyment of God? A lot of people in the Christian life are simply enduring. They're not enjoying. And fellowship with Christ is not as vibrant and full of life and satisfaction and deep inner peace as it should be. And they're grinding along. What about getting goodness and drawing the goodness out of a close relationship with God? What's one thing you could do this year to increase your enjoyment of God? Another question that we could frame a resolution around: what's the most humanly impossible thing you will ask God to do this year? When Simon was up a few minutes ago, he was talking about faith. He mentioned it on a number of occasions. And of course, the Lord is challenging us. Have faith in God. Simple, straightforward scripture. In the light of that, what's the most humanly impossible thing you will ask God to do this year? In other words, are you going to put God to the test in your life? Put the boat out and go and do something that you would reckon, others would reckon, would be humanly impossible. But through God's strength, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It can be done. Three, what's the single most important thing you could do to improve the quality of your family life this year? And there's bound to be a lot of suggestions that'll come to your mind instantly without prompting on that particular one. Fourth, in which spiritual discipline do you most want to make progress this year, and what will you do about it? Could be in the realm of reading the Word of God, could be in participation in prayer, could be in public prayer in the prayer meeting whenever the people of God gather together, could be your witness or showing the other signs of grace in your Christian life. In which spiritual discipline do you most want to make progress this year? Number five, what is the single biggest time waster in your life, and what will you do about it this year? Another question that probably hits home pretty hard. What is the most helpful new way you could strengthen your church? There is no doubt about it that evangelical reformed churches all over the board need strengthening, need an influx of people, need targets for the preacher in the pew, need people brought in who in themselves have no interest in coming in. Well, what way can the Lord use us to strengthen our church? For whose salvation will you pray most fervently this year? I'm not saying that you just pray for one. I don't think that was the intention of the question here, that you simply pray for the one person. What I will say is that if you do start by targeting people in your prayer time, and not just Lord save the lost, but have a name, have a person. Lord, give me an extra burden. Let me really pray most fervently for them, and pray on until blessing comes. What's the most important way you will, by God's grace, try to make this year different from last year? I'm conscious that having been engaged in the Consider Christ campaign, which to me was a breath of fresh air, and I trust to many other people as well, we don't have those resources as a denomination. Another £100,000 it'll be difficult to raise, and to do it every year is going to be a very tall order. But there's bound to be something, and there needs to be something that we engage in. And even if it's only at a local church level, that will be good. And let's try and keep the momentum and harness our energy and make this year even better than previous years. Other things need to be checked in our lives and corrected, and in that we can make things different. Number nine, what one thing could you do to improve your prayer life this year? And I'm sure there are things you can do. Make an established time whereby you pray, shunt other things away. Many ways in which you can improve that prayer life. What single thing that you plan to do this year will matter most in 10 years in eternity? In other words, what is our focus? Are we living for time, or are we living for fruit that will remain and that will travel on into eternity? Only one life, the hymn writer said, 'twill soon be past. Who can tell where we will be in 10 years? Who can tell where we will be in 10 months? What are we going to do this year? This year. That will still be bearing fruit in 10 years' time, whether we are here or not, and will still carry on to bring praise to God through eternity. We are dying men and women, living among fellow dying men and women, wanting to make our mark on time for eternity. Tall orders, but hopefully thought-provoking. What about some hints? Well, there's plenty of hints, I'm sure, that the world is using at the moment in terms of this is a time when people are making New Year's resolutions. And there's all kinds of psychology going on and how best to make a resolution stick and to travel beyond mid-February or even the first week in January, how to really help. And I think some of the information can be used and distilled and of benefit to us as we live in the spiritual realm. Hints to help in the new year. What can help us make our resolutions reality? Well, it would be good to begin by writing down our goals. So it's not just pie in the sky, airy-fairy stuff. If you can read well, you'll see the top one is quit smoking. Well, we're trusting that doesn't have to be your resolution for this year. So we'll move on from that. But write down your goals. What are your targets? Maybe out of the 10 things that have already been suggested here tonight. Something else that will help is to be absolutely specific about it. Nail it. Tie it down. Don't be and well, maybe this, maybe that. Just make it a particular goal. and go for it in God's name and with the strength that he gives you. A good thing as well, building on from that, create a plan. And have a look around your life, tidy it up, have a plan in place that will help you accomplish those goals that you believe that God would have you accomplish. What about putting a timetable on it as well? Work towards a deadline. I work best under pressure. I need to see the whites of the eyes of the deadline before I can actually get it done. There's no point giving me a task and saying, you have 2 months to do it because it'll be done the 2 days before the 2 months expire. It won't be done the first 2 days of those 2 months. It's the way I work, it's the way I am. I can't seem to change it. But set a timetable. It has to be done by such and such a time. If you're talking about, right, I'm going to give more time to God in prayer, begin right away. I want to see this develop in my spiritual life. Well, you'll want to see this thing accomplished by, say, March time. And give yourself to it with that in mind. Not only set a timetable, start a journal. Am I succeeding? Am I failing at the moment? Don't see failure in a negative light. Use it as a stepping stone to success. Start that journal and chart your progress through what you want to do for God this year. Steer clear of negativity. I'll tell you one thing, little secret. You won't need to be negative yourself. You'll have plenty of people around you that are negative, and their negativity will probably swamp you. And if they can do it, they'll put out your candle before you get it fully lit. Don't let them do it. Walk away. Smile in your face. I'm going on for God. This is what I am doing. No one will deflect me. It's the only way to live. Our work is not done to man, not done for men. In particular, it's done for the glory of God and for the advancement of his kingdom. Keep your eyes on him. Get some daily inspiration. I'm sure most of you will read daily reading books. We had a free one delivered to the church very recently, and Precious Promises. For those that didn't get copies, we might be able to get more at the incoming Minister's Week of Prayer. But if you didn't get them, I'm sure you've access to other daily devotionals that are all kinds available on the websites. I get one that's really only a quotation that comes into my email every day from J.C. Ryle, some little nugget of thought that he had, and that sparks you up for that particular day. Others from various other famous preachers, including Henry Morris and his devotional studies, but there's any amount of them out there. Get some daily inspiration that will keep you going. It's not a substitute for regular Bible reading and study, but it is a kick start in some cases. And stretch yourselves by the grace and power that God gives you. Take a leap of faith. Don't be saying, I'm staying in a rut. I'm staying with small, shallow notions and ideas as to what I'm going to do. Get out of the boat for God, as some preachers say. Whenever they're referring to what Peter did, get out, walk by faith. Take a leap of faith in God's grace, and these goals can be accomplished. Might sound almost like contradicting what I have just said when I say in conclusion, be patient. They say that Rome wasn't built in a day, and it wasn't. And nothing that we do for God is going to be built instantly. And part of God's honing of our graces is that he teaches us to be patient. And so trials can come, obstacles can arise, difficulties come across the path. We feel as if we're about to achieve the goal. We're really going to get this one closed down and sealed, signed, delivered, and then something comes in and just spoils it. Be patient and keep persevering. That's what Hebrews 12, he mentioned that earlier in the prayer meeting, is all about. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, that we are to run with patience, with endurance, the race that is set before us in all times, through all of these resolutions and thoughts, potential changes, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Faith is not something we crank up within ourselves and push ourselves up to a higher level. It is by looking to Jesus that our faith builds, because we get a clearer sight of who he is, a better, more full understanding of what he is able to do, and then seeing he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could think, or even dream about, we then attempt greater things for God and we expect greater things from His hand as well. Be patient as you go through this year, living for the Lord Jesus. In conclusion, a poem. We have mentioned and we've done an overview in the life of John Newton, and we highlighted then, and given the fact it was his anniversary not that long ago, we highlighted his connection with our own city, coming in through the Lough Swilly and then worshipping, it is believed, in St. Columb's Cathedral, after his conversion out there in the mid-Atlantic. John Newton wrote a poem as we move into the new year, and that poem has tremendous words. The Lord, our salvation and light, the guide of our strength in our days, has brought us together tonight, a new Ebenezer to raise. The year we have now passed through, His goodness with blessings is crowned. Each morning His mercies were new. Then let our thanksgivings abound. Encompassed with dangers and snares, temptations and fears and complaints, His ear He inclined to our prayers, His hand opened wide to our wants. We never besought Him in vain. When burdened with sorrow or sin, He helped us again and again. Or where before now had we been? His gospel throughout the long year, from Sabbath to Sabbath He gave. How oft has He met with us here and shown Himself mighty to save. His candlestick has been removed from churches once privileged thus, but though we unworthy have proved, it still is continued to us. For so many mercies received, alas, what returns have we made? His spirit we often have grieved, and evil for good have repaid. How well it becomes us to cry, oh, who is a God like to thee, who passest iniquities by and plungest them deep in the sea? To Jesus, who sits on the throne, our best hallelujahs we bring. To Thee it is owing alone that we are permitted to sing. Assist us, we pray, to lament the sins of the year that has passed, and grant that the next may be spent far more to Thy praise than the last. I think that's a particularly brilliant piece of work by Newton. Exercise my heart to read it today, and I trust has yours as we have gone through this particular poem.